Gene didn't know it. So I don't think, Zach, you knew it, did you? You recognize him? Good deal. Yeah, junior church. Turn with me in your Bibles to Exodus 15 as the children are going to junior church. Exodus chapter 15. We're going to start reading with Exodus 14, beginning with 30. It won't be projected on the screen, at least the first couple verses, but you can follow along with me in your Bibles, Exodus chapter 14, verse 30, and we're going to go all the way to 21 of chapter 15. And once again, in honor of God's Word, if you can, I would ask you to stand. Follow along with me in your Bibles, and then on the screen behind me. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day from the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. Israel saw the great power that the Lord used against the Egyptians, so the people feared the Lord, and they believed in the Lord and in His servant Moses. Chapter 15. Then Moses and the people of Israel sang this song to the Lord, saying, I will sing to the Lord, for He has triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider He has thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song, and He has become my salvation. This is my God, and I will praise Him, my Father's God, and I will exalt Him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is His name. Pharaoh's chariot and his host He cast into the sea, and His chosen officers were sunk in the Red Sea. The floods covered them. They went down into the depths like a stone. Your right hand, O Lord, glorious in power, Your right hand, O Lord, shatters the enemy. In the greatness of Your majesty, You overthrow Your adversaries. You send out Your fury. It consumes them like stubble. At the blast of Your nostrils, the waters piled up. The floods stood up in a heap. The deep congealed in the heart of the sea. The enemy said, I will pursue, I will overtake, I will divide the spoil, my desire shall have its fill of them. I will draw my sword, my hand shall destroy them. You blew with Your wind. The sea covered them. They sank like lead in the mighty waters. Who is like You, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like You, majestic in holiness, awesome in glorious deeds, doing wonders? You stretched out Your right hand. The earth swallowed them. You have led in Your steadfast love the people whom You have redeemed. You have guided them by Your strength to Your holy abode. The peoples have heard. They tremble. Pangs have seized the inhabitants of Philistia. Now are the chiefs of Edom dismayed. Trembling seizes the leaders of Moab. All the inhabitants of Canaan have melted away. Terror and dread fall upon them because of the greatness of Your arm. They are as still as a stone till Your people, O Lord, pass by, till the people pass by whom You have purchased. You will bring them in and plant them on Your own mountain, the place, O Lord, which You have made for Your abode, the sanctuary, O Lord, which Your hands have established. The Lord will reign forever and ever. For when the horses of Pharaoh with his chariots and his horsemen went into the sea, the Lord brought back the waters of the sea upon them. But the people of Israel walked on dry ground in the midst of the sea. Then Miriam, the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took a tambourine in her hand, and all the women went out after her with tambourines and dancing. And Miriam sang to them, Sing to the Lord, for He has triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider He has thrown into the sea. Then Moses and the people of Israel sang this song to the Lord, saying, I will sing to the Lord, for He has triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider he has thrown into the sea. This is God's word. Amen. You may be seated. Let's go to this God who delivered his people from the pursuing Egyptians by drowning them in the depths of the Red Sea. Precious Heavenly Father, you are a just and holy God. You deliver your people and you judge the wicked righteously. Lord, what you did back then, you still do today. You still save your people, Lord. Those who have placed their faith and trust in the risen and resurrected Lord Jesus Christ, Lord. You have promised them a home, promised to take them to heaven when they die or when you return, Lord. But you have also promised to destroy your enemies, destroy all those who have rejected your Son, Jesus Christ, who have not placed their faith and trust in him and have trusted in something other than the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord. Use these words in our lives to encourage us to fill our hearts with praise and worship, Lord. You are highly exalted, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Notice how chapter 15 begins with that word, then. It's a participle. It conveys a relationship between what happened and what is going to happen next. What Moses and the people are doing is that they are responding. Then means that they are responding. What are they responding to? Well, actually, they're responding to everything that has happened in the book of Exodus up to this point. Now, we're not going to repeat Exodus. That would take quite some time. But they're responding specifically to what happened in Exodus chapter 14. And what happened in Exodus chapter 14? God delivered his people through the sea and destroyed the chasing Egyptian army with the waters that had built up walls on either side, and they passed through on dry land. And so they're responding to what God had revealed to them about his character, about his power, about his plan and his promises. They are responding, of course, to what he had done in the 10 plagues that immediately preceded them crossing the Red Sea. God has, in the book of Exodus, bit by bit, little by little, been revealing himself to the people of Israel. He wants them to know him. He wants them to fear him. He wants them to trust him and believe in him. That's what he said in Exodus 14:31. God wants the people to know that he alone is their Savior. He is holy, he is just, he is sovereign, he is gracious, and he is worthy of all worship and praise. So the people respond, and I might add, appropriately, to the salvation of the Lord. They had their backs against the wall, death was certain, and God delivered them miraculously through the sea, much like God delivered us from death as well. We were under the wrath of God because of our sins, but Jesus Christ paid for our sins by dying on the cross. So that's how they respond, or that's what they do in response to God's salvation. So how do they respond? Well, they sing a song. You see that? They begin to sing a song to the Lord. Now, up to this point in the book of Exodus, there hasn't been much singing. There's been a lot of groaning. There's been a lot of crying, a lot of complaining, a lot of murmuring by the Israelites. And there will continue to be all those things. But in Exodus chapter 15, they respond by singing a song. In response to them singing God's mighty hand of deliverance, in response to them seeing the great power that the Lord used for them against the Egyptians, they fear God and believe in God, and they respond by singing. They sing a song of praise. They sing a song of exaltation. There are several songs in the Bible of exaltation and praise in response to the Lord's salvation. It says here they praise him and exalt him. Literally, they beautify him and decorate him with armor. Just like you would decorate a soldier who goes through battle, and you give him medals and pin him with all kinds of honor. That's literally what it's saying. They're decorating God with honor. Verse 2, the Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. This is my God, and I will praise him. My Father's God, and I will exalt him. Their song was an expression of praise, an expression of their gratefulness for God's mighty hand of deliverance. Now, how did this song come about? Did Moses teach them this song on the banks of the Red Sea, on the east side of the Red Sea? He did, on another occasion, teach them a song, and they sang it together. Go with me to Deuteronomy chapter 31, would you? It seemed back when that people were able to memorize a lot easier than what we memorize today. I know when I was a kid, I used to have, 15, 20, 25 cell phone numbers in my mind. Ask me what my wife's telephone number is today. I did memorize it 2 weeks ago, but I don't know my kid's number. If I ever lost my phone, I would be up a creek without a paddle. I don't memorize anything anymore, hardly. But it's not, I don't think it has anything to do with age. We've become a society who doesn't memorize. Most Hebrew men, boys, 13, they had the first 5 books of the Bible memorized by the time they were 13 years old. Why? Because they didn't have video games, did they? They spent time memorizing God's Word. So I don't know how they learned this song quickly. Maybe Moses taught them. Let me read to you Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 19. God instructs Moses with these words. Now therefore write this song and teach it to the people of Israel. Put it in their mouths that this song may be a witness for me against the people of Israel. And then he goes on and tells them what to teach the people of Israel. So perhaps there on the bank of the Red Sea, Moses is teaching the people to sing this song. I'm inclined to believe that the Holy Spirit taught them this song. Remember, who is guiding the people? Remember, we determined that the cloud, the pillar, the fire, is the manifestation of the Holy Spirit of God who is guiding the people through the desert. God has, through His Holy Spirit, guided His people all the way to the east side of the Red Sea. And I believe the Holy Spirit comes upon all those people, and He teaches them this song. How do I know that? Why do I think that? Because we have these words recorded in our bodies, in our Bibles, as the inspired Word of God. And so God, by His Holy Spirit, not only guided their steps, He guided their hearts and their mouths. When we studied the book of Ephesians, in Ephesians chapter 5, when Paul was speaking to the church there in Ephesus, he said one of the manifestations, or one of the evidences that you are filled with the Spirit of God, in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, is that you will speak and sing spiritual songs one to another. If you're filled with the Holy Spirit of God, you will be singing songs to one another, spiritual songs to one another. And so perhaps the Holy Spirit is empowering these people and guiding these Hebrews to sing this song. Verse 1 says, I will sing. Literally, it means I must sing. So in the first person, in response to what God has just done for us by delivering us from Egypt, from certain death, I must sing. That is the natural response of a man or a woman or a child filled by the Spirit of God in response to what God has done for them. We must sing because of what Christ has done for us. And their song is directed not towards Moses, not towards Aaron. It is directed to the Lord God Almighty. This song is all about God, all about His salvation, all about His deliverance. Notice, several times in the text, it says, He has become our salvation. Only God delivered them. They had come to the end of themselves there on the west side of the Red Sea, thinking that soon they would be destroyed or recaptured by the Egyptian army. They had come to the end of themselves, and they stood still and watched the Lord's deliverance. But not only do they sing songs in response to the Lord's deliverance, notice in verse 20 and 21 of chapter 15, what else do they do in response to the Lord's salvation, the Lord's deliverance? Verse 20. Then Miriam, the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, and by the way, Moses as well, took a tambourine in her hand, and all the women went out after her with tambourines and dancing. And Miriam sang to them, saying to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously, the horse and his rider he has thrown into the sea. And so the women play their tambourines, we have a couple over there, and they dance to the Lord because of his salvation. Their hearts are filled with joy, and they manifest that joy and that happiness by physically dancing. Now, this isn't a proof text that dancing is all right, okay? That's not what the text is telling us. Just saying, in response to God's deliverance, they are totally engaged with the God, their Savior. These women praise God, not only by singing, but by playing their tambourines and dancing. So, why do they sing? We've already mentioned it, but let's go through the text and find out exactly. They respond. They respond by singing. But why do they sing? Moses and the people are responding appropriately and accurately to what God has revealed to them about himself in the events of the Exodus. They are responding accurately to what God has revealed about himself in the events of the Exodus. Specifically, they're responding to what he has done. His power has saved them. That's the main point. His power has delivered them from certain death. He has once and for all delivered them from their enemies, never to see the Egyptians any longer. Let me read to you from Isaiah 51, if you'd like to turn there quickly, if you can, in your Bibles. Isaiah 51. Verses 10 and 11, Isaiah the prophet says this, Was it not you who dried up the sea, the waters of the great deep, who made the depths of the sea a way for the redeemed to pass over? They are singing because they are redeemed. God has saved them. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. That's them on the east side, on the west side, or east side of the Red Sea. God the Lord, Yahweh Jehovah, has triumphed gloriously. He is exalted. That means actually he's on the highest place. He stands over all. He rose to the occasion, so to speak, in his judgment against the Egyptians. He stood tall over the Egyptians. He rose up as victor. There is no human explanation to what God just accomplished in the Red Sea. Two walls of water walking through on dry land. There is no other explanation. Remember, before this all started, in Exodus chapter 14, verse 13, Moses told the people to fear not, stand firm, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will work for you today. And so they sing in response to God's salvation. His salvation of them, but his salvation of them means that somebody was going to be judged. Who was judged? The Egyptians. His salvation for the Jews, for the Hebrews, included his judgment on the Egyptians. They testify in song that they have learned from God that he alone is their Savior. He has delivered them once and for all completely from their bondage to the Egyptians. Notice all the times in verse chapter 15 how God, or how the people in their song of praise, attribute everything to Him, attribute their deliverance from the Egyptians to God. Verse 4, He has thrown. Literally, He has cast, He has hurled. Were you ever a kid, or have you ever seen your kids or your grandkids playing in the sand with these little toy soldiers, plastic toy soldiers, and they have tanks and all that kind of stuff, and they get, what do they do with them? You know, sometimes they throw them, they toss them, you know. That's basically what God was doing. He was tossing them into the sea. It was no harder for God to toss the chariots and the Egyptian army in the sea than it is for a little kid to toss a plastic soldier. Verse 6, He shatters the enemy. The enemy had become brittle, just like your grandma's china. And you drop it on the ground, what's going to happen to it? It's going to shatter, break in a million little pieces. Verse 7, He overthrows the adversaries. God consumed the Egyptians like stubble, like hay, like straw. Just went up in a ball of smoke. Verse 8, The waters piled up with blast of your nostrils. Isn't that amazing? God just heard a lot like this. Blew his nose. And I don't mean to be disrespect like that. And when he blew his nose, the waters what? Parted. Two nostrils. Just parted. And then he breathes in again, and the deeps congealed in the heart of the sea. Verse 10, You blew with your wind and covered them. They sank like lead. Verse 12, You stretched out your hand and the earth swallowed them. Verse 19, The Lord brought back the water, divided the water, and He brought it back on the Egyptians. This is the testimony of all of Scripture, that God alone is our Savior. He is our salvation. And in His salvation of us, judgment came upon the Egyptians. But they also sang not only for what He had done, but also for who He is. They had seen enough of God already in the first 14 chapters of Exodus to develop a theology of God, and they sing that theology back to God. They sing what they know to be true about God. Verse 2. What do they sing? He alone is their strength. The idea there is refuge and protection. He is their stronghold. Verse 2 also, He alone is their song. Actually, it's the word melody. When I was a kid, I used to sing this song, Life is a Symphony. Anybody know that song? And what in the song, God changes our discord into song. God is the only one in the Hebrew's life who can change the messed up ways of our life and change it into a symphony. God is the reason that the Hebrews sing. He is their song. Verse 2, has become my salvation. This is the theme of Exodus 14 and 15. God does not deliver us from all of our trials. He walks with us through our trials, but God does deliver us from sin and death through the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the theme of Exodus 14 and 15. Go with me to Isaiah chapter 12, verse 2. Isaiah 12, verse 2. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and will not be afraid. For the Lord God is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. The people of God always, in response to God's salvation, always respond in song. And that's what the Hebrews are here doing as well. Go with me to 2 Samuel chapter 22. 2 Samuel, another example of God delivering a man and how he responds in song. Go with me there, 2 Samuel chapter 22. Verse 1, and David spoke to the Lord the words of this song on the day when the Lord delivered him from the hand of all of his enemies and from the hand of Saul. So God delivers David, and David responds in a song. And he begins saying this song, these words of this song. The Lord is my rock. And notice how similar this song is with the song that the Hebrews sing in Exodus 15. Verse 2, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield, the horn of my salvation, my stronghold, my refuge, my Savior. You save me from violence. I call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised, and I am saved from my enemies. For the waves of death encompass me, the torrents of destruction assail me, the cords of Sheol entangle me, the snares of death confronted me. And you can continue reading on later today this song sung by David. But go with me to the last few verses of 2 Samuel verse chapter 22. I'm going to start with verse 47. The Lord lives, and blessed be my rock, and exalted be my God, the rock of my salvation, the Lord who gave me vengeance and brought down peoples under me, who brought me out from my enemies. You exalted me above those who rose against me. You delivered me from men of violence. For this I will praise you, O Lord, among the nations, and sing praises to your name. Great salvation he brings to his king personally, and shows steadfast love to his anointed, to David and his offspring forever. And so much like the people of Israel responded in song to God's salvation, David responds in song for God's salvation of his kingship. Verse 3, go back with me to Exodus 15. Let's continue unpacking the text before us. The people sing his song not only for what he has done for them, but who he is. Verse 3 tells us that the Lord is a man of war. You ever think of God that way? He wages war against his enemies. And God always triumphs over his enemies. Verse 6, he is glorious in power. The idea of glorious there is size. Nothing can compare to the power of our God, Yahweh. The people of Israel had seen the power of God in the 10 plagues. God had demonstrated his power over the gods of the Egyptians, the false gods of the Egyptians, by utterly destroying everything the Egyptians trusted in. Verse 9. This is what... The enemy says, I will pursue, I will overtake, I will divide the spoil, my desire shall have its fill of them, I will draw my sword, my hand shall destroy them. That's what the Egyptians were saying as they were pursuing the Israelites. And God, the man of war, rises up against them. It says, talks about his strong arm prevailing against the Egyptians. I thought about this, you know. You ever arm wrestle? You know, strongest one wins. Guess what? God and the Egyptians, you know who won? God in a flash. He overtakes them. Pharaoh thinks he's the strongest in the world. He's going to pursue and defeat the Israelites. And God shows him otherwise. Verse 7. He is great in majesty. Also singing about God's majesty. Verse 7, his fury, his anger. Verse 11, he is like any other God. He is majestic in holiness. He is awesome in his glorious deeds and wonders. This is the God that the Hebrews sing about in Exodus chapter 15. This is the beginning of God's self-revelation of himself to his people. But all throughout Scripture, God reveals himself as this type of God, worthy of our praise. First Chronicles, you don't have to turn there. I'll read it for you. First Chronicles chapter 16. For great is the Lord, and he's greatly to be praised. and he is to be feared above all gods. The testimony of Scripture. Deuteronomy chapter 3, verse 24. O Lord God, you have only begun to show your servant your greatness and your mighty hand. What good is there in heaven or on earth? Who can do such works and mighty acts as yours? And the answer is no one. Psalm 71:19. Your righteousness, O God, reaches the high heavens. You who have done great things, O God, who is like you? And the answer is what? No one is like our God. And the Hebrews, in response to this, God sing praises to him. Not only is he great in his deeds and his wonder, he leads them in steadfast love. And this is referring to God's covenantal love with his people. God promised to love his people throughout all eternity. And they sing praises to God in response to his great love. Verse 16, they respond in singing by singing to the greatness of your arm. Verse 18, he reigns forever. This is a song that all of his children will sing forever and ever. Their praise will continually be on their lips. Psalm 34:1 says this, I will bless the Lord at all times, his praise shall continually be in my mouth. In response to the Lord's salvation of his people, God's people sing a song forever and ever. And we see that in Revelation chapter 5, where they are gathered around the throne and sing glory and honor to our Lord Jesus Christ forever and ever. They sing praises for not only what God has done, not only for who he is, but also for what he has promised he will do. Verse 13. He will continue to guide them with his covenantal love. He will lead them all the way, verse 13 says, to his holy abode. And this is a reference to Israel, to Jerusalem, to the holy temple. And while he's leading them, all the people that inhabit the land that they are going to have heard about this great salvation that the Lord has done on behalf of his people. And what does the song say about those people in Canaan who are awaiting their arrival? It's going to take them 40 years to get there. And generations later, the people will be trembling because of the Lord's salvation. Edom will be dismayed. The leaders of Moab will be seized with trembling. The inhabitants of Canaan melted away. There is terror and dread that falls upon them all because of the salvation of the Lord. And the people look forward to God's future deliverance of them into the promised land. All the way, according to the song, until the mountain that God has raised up for them. All the way to Jerusalem. All the way to his holy abode. All the way to his sanctuary. Of course God's people sang. Look what God, who God is. Look at what he has done. Look what he has promised for them. It wasn't just any victory. It was God's deliverance of them from death. It was God's judgment upon their enemies. An enemy who had made them suffer for 430 years unjustly. They weren't just saved. They were redeemed. They were bought with the precious blood of a one-year-old lamb without defect. The application is, we should sing too, right? What has God done for us in Christ Jesus? He has delivered us once for all from sin and death, not because of our good works, but because of Christ's righteousness. Our song, our heart should be filled with song. And we're going to sing in a couple minutes. We're going to sing a couple more songs. In response to what God has done for us, in response to who he is, and in response to what he still has to accomplish in our lives. Let me read to you from Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1. This is the same book that I referred to earlier, where Paul says, an evidence of the Holy Spirit filling or indwelling in the life of a believer is that they will sing songs one to another. Look how Paul describes our salvation. Some of the same themes that he repeats in chapter 1 of Ephesians are what we saw in the song sung by the Hebrews there on the east side of the Red Sea in Exodus chapter 15. I'm going to read to you from Ephesians chapter 1. If you're not there, I would ask you to turn there with me. Starting with verse 3. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. We're going to do something here, okay? We began our sermon in Revelation chapter 19. Where all God's people were singing what? Hallelujah. What were they singing? Hallelujah. Four times. Hallelujah. And so, when I pause, and you might feel uncomfortable, but I want you to sing as a church, Hallelujah. Okay, let's try this again. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Hallelujah. Even as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before Him. Hallelujah. That is amazing. In love, He predestined us for the adoption to Himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of His words. Will. Hallelujah. To the praise of His glorious grace, with which He has blessed us in the Beloved. Hallelujah. In Him, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of His grace, which He lavished on us, in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of His will, according to His purpose, which He set forth in Christ, as a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in Him, things in heaven and things on earth. Hallelujah! You're liking this, aren't you, Brenda? Yeah, I knew it. In Him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will, so that we who are the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of His glory. Hallelujah. We could go on and on and on. But I'm going to ask Steve and Gene, they're going to come up here, and we're going to sing a couple songs of our great salvation. And then I'll come up and close this down. But before we do, will you bow your heads with me in prayer? Precious Heavenly Father, when people respond in song for what You had done for them, who You were, and what You had promised. Lord, as we gather together to sing, Lord, help us, help our hearts to be filled with praise for what You have done, for who You are, and what You have promised us, Lord. Thank You for our salvation. This is a song only for the redeemed. Lord, I pray, Lord, that You use these words in our hearts and minds to convince us that on our own we are as bad off as the Egyptians. We deserve Your wrath, and we deserve Your judgment. But instead of placing it on us, Lord, You placed Your wrath and judgment on the perfect Son of God, Jesus Christ. And He bled and He died in our place. He took the wrath of God against our sins, and He satisfied it completely. Lord, if there by chance are any here today who are trusting in anything else except for the blood of the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ Himself. Lord, I pray, Lord, that Your Holy Spirit will do His work in their hearts today and bring them to repentance. Help them to trust God right now, even in the quietness of their own hearts, so that they could, for the first time in their life, genuinely sing that you have saved them. Lord, help our lives, Lord, to be a testimony of praise for what you have done for us in Christ Jesus. This I pray in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. I'm going to ask.